Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about faithfulness, and to do that, I have to talk about a very sensitive subject, my marriage. Is that okay? My wife wasn't in the first service. I had more freedom to preach in the Spirit. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to have some freedom right now, I think. You know, I've been married, and I know someone last week came up to me and they said, "Pastor, you're in trouble." This was during the weekday. I said, "What do you mean I'm in trouble?" I tape recorded your statement when you said your wedding anniversary in June. I went, "Oh, well, what are you going to do with that?" She said, "I'm telling." I said, "I'm getting blackmailed in church? Is that really possible?" My anniversary is in May, May 18th. I don't know who was up here preaching the wrong date. But it's May 18th. This May 18th, it will have been 24 years, which is wonderful that she has been faithful. Yeah. I say that because when we talk about the fruit of faithfulness, the first thing that you think about is certainly, I would think, is relationships. The idea of being faithful in a marriage is one of the largest things. But there's friendships, to be faithful in your friendship. There's faithfulness in your relationship to God. There's faithfulness in your work. There's faithfulness in your ethics. But this morning, I want to talk and just take a minute, if I can, to kind of paint the picture, because we've been married for 24 years. And those of you that can remember your wedding date, those of you that are married, those of you that are thinking about getting married, you probably had in your mind certain expectations about your marriage. And I couldn't wait. I mean, I remember when I became a Christian, and then after I got called to ministry and I was moving hundreds of miles away, my pastor said, "Mitch, I am praying for you that God will give you a wife." I'd never had anybody pray that for me. And I was like, "Amen, I'm praying that too then. I'm with you. We're just going to agree together." And he's praying that I would find a godly wife. I was like, "Yeah, and I'll just throw in there, let her be a holy hottie." I mean, just throw it right on in. I mean, if we're going to pray, we might as well pray, right? And God answers prayer. He is faithful to His prayer. He does exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or even imagine. And God did that. So I had expectations. I couldn't wait. I was 21 years old. I couldn't wait to get married. And some of you can remember that. Now some of you are going, "When was that?" I don't know what your marriage is like or your relationships are like. And some of you have been through hell and back. Some of you have been in relationships that you go, "You know, I'm surprised I even survived." We live in a world that we need to talk about this fruit of faithfulness. When we got married, I had expectations. I couldn't wait. I mean, we got married. I remember I shared with you last week when I met her. And then we got married. I proposed to her midnight, New Year's Eve. I won't forget that. Strike of midnight. I'd been gone. I sold my car, took her to a junkyard. He gave me $300. I went and bought a ring. I didn't have a car, but I had a ring. You know, I love these young couples. "We don't have jobs, but we're living on love." That was me. I didn't have a car, but I had love. And I had a ring. I was going back to Oklahoma to propose to my holy hottie. And I did. And she said yes. And I was like, "All right, we're getting married." And I knew her for 3 months. We were engaged. And then 5 months later, we were married. I wasn't letting her get away. It's only so long you can keep that fish on the line before it might snap, all right? Some of you, you got better test lines, so you can stay engaged for 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 years, all right? Me, I thought, "She gets to know me too much, I might lose this one." And I had these expectations. I couldn't wait. Oh, man, the honeymoon, the honeymoon, they said, lasts a year, and it did. It lasts about a year. And, I mean, we all have expectations. I did not expect this. I got to tell you, the day she came out in something like this, the night she came out, I was like, "What happened to the honeymoon?" I didn't see that coming. The flannels, the granny flannels. I'm like, "What's this?" It was comfortable. But it wasn't what I expected. Never saw it coming. Some of us get into a relationship with God, and one day, it happens. You never saw it coming. "I didn't expect this. I wanted a honeymoon with God. I was going to be faithful to God as long as we were on our honeymoon." But the minute it changed to flannels and unexpectations, things change. I wonder how many people get disappointed in their relationships, and that's the basis of their faithfulness. And yet the Bible talks about this fruit that's growing on this tree. And faithfulness is a beautiful word in your Bible. It really has, the Greeks got a really good understanding of it. And if I dove in and spent hours and hours and days studying this. And I found out that the Greek word faithfulness means literally to be full of faith. Yeah. 2 years of Greek. It means to have the fullness, to be ripe. Actually, it means to be loyal and to be ripe with the fullness of faith, to be faithful. And I want that in my life. I want to be a faithful person. As I was studying the Scripture, it even went on to say this in the Greek. It actually translated this way. It means to have a resolve. It means to resolve resolutely and firmly, sticking with a person. That's what faithful means. Faithfulness. In other words, come up here, Pastor Kevin, if we could. What it says is, in my relationship to Kevin as a friend, if I make a vow or a promise, and I swear I'm your friend, I promise. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, the Bible says don't swear. So I'm not going to swear at you, Kevin. All right? But I swear I'm your friend. I swear it's true. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, don't swear by heaven, and don't swear by the altar, don't swear by the church, and don't swear by the hairs of your head.
There's only one reason.
I'm quoting Jesus, all right? If the shoe fits, all right. I'm just saying this is Jesus speaking, not me. And he said, don't do that. Now, you're saying, well, he says don't swear. That's not what he was saying. That's right in a whole group of sermon stuff that says don't even say to your brother, you fool, or you might as well have committed murder. Don't even look at a woman lustfully, or you've committed adultery. What he's saying is, there are standards you just can't live by. He says, I know you make promises all the time. You're just not living by them. In other words, he was saying, it's not that I don't say, I promise you, or I make a vow, or I swear. He's saying, you just, look, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, put up or shut up. Okay? That's what Jesus was saying. Stop making these promises you're not keeping. Especially when you say, oh my God, by heaven. And so what he's saying here, faithfulness means this. Faithfulness in your Bible is translated to say firmly and resolutely establishing yourself in a friendship. So if I said, we're friends, I promise, I swear we're friends. What I'm saying is, I'm making this resolutely, firmly planting myself. Say, Kevin, I already know that there's things in our lives that are going to challenge our friendship. There are things that are going to try to rip us apart, come between us. There are things that are going to happen. And so I want to establish myself so when those things happen, I want you to know, I swear, Kevin, I'm with you, man. I am with you in heart and soul, but I'm not just saying, I'm your friend. It means to literally come in, to get a grip, to hold on firmly and say, we are friends. Thank you. Appreciate you. I appreciate that you're such a good illustration. I've been working. I know. I have. Thank you. To be faithful. To say, I'm firmly established in this friendship. He needs to know that because that brings security into our relationship. My wife needs to know that I say, I am faithful to her. What that means is, I have established myself. I've gotten myself dug in into this relationship. I don't know what you think about relationships, but I'll tell you, my Bible tells me there's an enemy trying to destroy my love for my wife. We live in a world that would throw over 2 billion websites to destroy my love for my holy hottie in my mind. There's a relationship in a world that there are other guys that would probably love to step into the relationship and steal the attraction and the love. I have to resolutely establish myself, say, honey, I love you, and I'm firmly saying, faithfulness, I am resolving myself in this relationship. No wonder why Paul wrote such strong words. And I want this in my life. I want to have my wife be able to come to me in my life and say, honey, I know you as a godly man have the fruit of faithfulness. I want to be able to come to, you ever go to a piece of fruit and you open it up and you go, what is this? There's nothing in it. Dried up. It's gone. You want to have it so you just touch it. You could squeeze it and the juice is just running out of this thing. You want to have it in your relationship where my wife can come up and she can just squeeze the faithfulness right out of me. My children need to know that their father has faithfulness in his life. And God says, I want you to have faithfulness growing in abundance in what's called the fruit, not fruits, the Spirit. In other words, there is one tree in my life called Christ. He is the root of my life. And out of that, I bear love and faithfulness and joy and patience and self-control, all of that. But faithfulness, I resolve myself to be faithful to my wife. Not exactly what I necessarily expected when I got married. I never saw it coming. But the one thing I did see coming that I didn't compromise is my faithfulness to my wife. Because I said I do, and I entered into a relationship, and I told her I would be faithful in that. And I think it's important. The honeymoon may be over, but the commitment is never over. The honeymoon may be over when you came to Christ. Maybe He gave you a honeymoon. Maybe He courted you. And I think Jesus does that. When you first become a Christian, I think Jesus just courts you. I think He just does things and just absolutely loves on you and does things. And then He says, okay, grow up in the relationship and kicks you out in the boat into the deep end. I think God does that in our lives. And I want to tell you, this fruit ought to be full of vitamin C. And so this morning, I want to take just a minute and talk to you about vitamin C. The first C in your life to be filled with faithfulness, the first C in your life is confession. You ought to have a good confession. Look what Paul says in verse 8 in your Bible. Paul says, do not be ashamed to what? What does your Bible say? To testify. In 2 Timothy, do not be afraid to testify. Don't be afraid to confess. You ought to have the fruit to confess in your life. I brought my little black book this morning. Some of you that I've done your weddings, I've done a lot of your weddings. I'm getting old. Some of you I knew when you were 12, and now you got kids that are 12. That's a scary thing. This is my black book. This is my funeral and my wedding book. I got this years ago, and I stand before couples who confess their faithfulness to each other. Here's what it says on page 30 or 45 in a wedding vow. It says, I take you to be my wedded, to have and to hold from this day forward. And here's what it says. Couples will come and they'll stand before me and they'll say these words. For better or for worse. For richer or for... Welcome to Michigan. All right. In sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. Wow. Talk about confessing your faithfulness to each other. And it's interesting. I'll sit with couples and I'll walk through every couple with about 5 months of counseling is what I try to go through. In fact, I'm counseling some couples right now that are wanting to get married. And I'll walk through this whole thing. And I'll say to them, when you stand before God and you make this confession, it needs to be a good confession. In your relationships with each other, when you say something, I swear it's for fruit. It is. It's called faithfulness. I swear it is. You say, do you swear? Every one of you that are married, you have sworn an oath. You have sworn before. You swore to your wife and you swore to God in a good and healthy way. And I'll tell couples, I'll say, it's important when you stand there and you make those vows that if I'm going to be your pastor, I'm going to stand there and say, God, bless this union and these vows. I want you to know how important that is. I don't take that lightly. And I tell every couple, I reserve the right to say no up to the day you get married. And that's not a good thing for them, but it's a great thing for me. Because if I don't think that they're going to live by those vows, I won't do the wedding. I just don't get it. There's a million pastors that will marry you. There's judges that will marry you. I will not do the wedding. And I've had some people mad at me. But you know what? I've had less than this many people in 20 years ever divorce. Because we walked through it. And I said, you know what? One day when you're older and you make these vows together, you need to understand that it's more than just you're making a vow to each other. Do you know that 61% of Christians end up in a divorce? 61%, according to most studies. There's higher and lower studies, but about 61% in most studies. And I was looking at that, and it really hit me this week. Because do you know that 61% of Christians do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? And it hit me. As I was studying, and I was talking to Pastor Kevin about it last week, it really hit me. that if 61% of Christians end up in divorce, and 61% of Christians, according to the George Barna Research Institute, say we don't believe Jesus is the only way, no wonder. Because if you can't have faithfulness to God, you can't have faithfulness to your spouse. And then it made sense. If I can say Jesus isn't the only lover of my soul, that it could be Buddha, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Ekinkar, Yen, Zen, and every other thing, no wonder why I could say this isn't the only love of my life. I can have another love in my life. You're not it. If we can break a vow to God, we can certainly break a vow to mankind. And so our relationship ought to be faithful first to God. And so when couples come and they stand before me, and I talk to them about faithfulness, I say, the reason I'm so serious about your wedding is I want to say, God bless them. God, and those of you that are in here, you're going, yeah, this, he said this to me. I guarantee you, every single couple I've ever done their wedding, I've said this to you. Everyone, and there's many of you. And here's what I say. You know, if God is going to bless you, what are you going to bless God with? Because if you're going to love each other, you need to have faithfulness to a God outside of yourself. You need to have that faith that's going to hold the two of you together. Because one day, you're going to get challenged in your relationship. And my goal is that one day you'll be sitting in a rocking chair when you're old and gray, and you'll be able to look at each other, and the fruit of faithfulness will be there. And you'll look over and say, life hasn't always been easy, but being with you has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. And if you sit on the rocking chair drinking your lemonade, and you look at the grandchildren, and your teeth are falling out, and the fruit of faithfulness is oozing because you got no teeth left and you got the drool coming down your face. And the fruit of faithfulness is there as she reaches over and she wipes it off and she says, I love you. Because I guarantee one of you is probably going to bury the other one. And when you're on that moment on that bed and you lean over and you say, I have loved you. I'll see you later. That is the life that I desire for every couple. That you live a life that's full, so that when the life is done, you can look at each other and the fruit of faithfulness, you could just squeeze it right out and it just kind of runs out. And some of you said, I haven't had that in my life. And thank God that you can start today with the fruit of faithfulness. You really can. And some of you have been through stuff that you say, I have peeled back the fruit, Pastor, and you don't understand. I have found absolutely nothing in that fruit in my life and people that I've been around. Maybe in a relationship. I understand that. But for you, you can say, God put that fruit in my life. So when people come to my life, my tree, and they pick that fruit, they go, oh, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for having a good confession. And so Paul says these words, do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ when you can say to Him, Lord, when life is over and I'm old and gray, I can say, I have been the bride, you have been my groom, and you have courted me my whole life, and now I'm coming home. You can have that in your life. You can have the fruit in your life. If you lived in the Old Testament times, it wasn't unusual. If you were going to get married, son, one day when you get married, you can practice this. I would not recommend it. But they would go, a young man would fall in love and he would get engaged. And here's what he would do. He would go out and find himself a lamb without blemish. That is a perfect sheep with no spots in it. The wool was perfectly white. He would take that lamb and he'd walk over to her. And, you know, he's got that thing in hand and he's got his little sword and knife there. And he'd walk up and said, I love you so much. And at this moment, he would officially step into his vow. He would take that lamb and he would slit its throat. And she's standing going, oh, he's so romantic. As he would kill the lamb, he would then cut the lamb completely in half. And he would take both sides and separate them, and the blood would run down to the middle. And that young man would then walk through the blood. As he'd walk through that blood, splattering on his feet, as he would finish that, he would turn and he would say to her, now, let my vow be this to you. If I ever break my promise, may this happen to me. He would walk through the blood of that lamb. I will be faithful, or this will be the end of my life. Wouldn't it be great if we were so serious in our relationships? And then I think about how God one day took a perfect lamb without blemish and He separated it. And that blood flowed, and you and I walk in that. And Jesus turns to us on that cross and says, I've given my life for you, that you now can be faithful in your life. And a lamb was given by God so that you and I can walk in that. That's the confession. Paul says, don't be afraid to confess it. Confess it, you're faithful. Be faithful in your life. Let the fruit, and don't just do it with words, I swear, I swear, I swear. Shut up and put up. Just simply be faithful. Let it be a fruit in your life. The second thing he says is commitment. Here's a vitamin C in our lives. Commitment. Look at in your Bible at verse 12 what Paul writes here. You might have missed this. There's some wonderful little gold nuggets in the middle of the cave. If you just quit looking at the water and the bats, you might look on the wall and find yourself a gold nugget and put it in your pocket. This is a gold nugget to pull off the wall this morning. Stick it in your pocket, okay? Take this home. Watch this. Paul says in verse 12, I am not ashamed because I know whom I believe, and I'm convinced that He is able to keep that which I've entrusted to Him until that day. Now in the Greek, the word entrusted, here's what he's saying. I know who I believed, and I am convinced that He's able to keep everything I've deposited in His bank. Talk about faithful. We live in a world, anybody have any value you lost in your 401k, your real estate, your stocks? You know, May 2nd of last year, you know the stock market was at 214, somewhere. It was just over 13,000 just last May. Yesterday, I believe, day before yesterday, I believe the stock market was around 7,100. It changes so fast you can't keep up with it. Do you know that that's almost half of it gone? Now, if I said, do you trust all these bankers with your money? Do you trust the mortgage company with your money? You are not probably depositing. There's not a whole lot of faithfulness going on there. And God says, Paul writes this, I know who I have trusted. I know who I have deposited into that bank. And he says, I want you to know God is faithful in your life. You ought to deposit your life into Christ and not be afraid of it. That's a huge word right there. He says, deposit into God. And then he goes on to say this. He says in verse 13, what you heard from me is a pattern and sound teaching with faith and love in Christ. Guard the good deposit which God has put in you. He says this, God, I can deposit into God. And know this, everything you put into Christ, one day when you get to heaven, you'll look and every single thing that you did for God is going to be right there and it's going to have interest to play. Everything you have done, God says, I will reward you over and over. No wonder why I said, don't store up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, but store up yourself treasures in heaven where thieves don't break in and consume. Where is your treasure, there will your heart be also. And God says, put your heart in the bank of God. FDIC, fully devoted in Christ. Put it all into Christ. Get your heart into the right bank. And so he's talking about that here. We ought to be committed to Christ. How committed are you in the relationship? I'm committed to my wife. How committed am I to my wife? Well, I'm committed as long as. I'm committed only when. I'm committed if. No, I am committed in Christ. And because I'm committed in Christ, your Bible says that God has deposited in us something. What is my God has placed in my heart a love for my wife. And He said, I want you to be faithful. A man should be the husband of one woman. I am committed to my friendships. The Bible says that a friend loves at all times. I'm committed to loving all the time. Not when it feels good. Not when he does things for me. Not when things are you know, good, but when things are bad, when things don't seem to be coming back my way, I'm committed and God has deposited within me a love for my children so that I don't kill them when their laundry's not done, when they call me and they say, can you run me here at the last minute, when they need $5, when they need this. No, I'm committed to my kids because God has given me the responsibility of raising a unique human being with a spirit within them that God has created. And so my children have been deposited into my heart. And God says, I want you to be faithful with them. God has deposited within my heart also some resources. He says, I've given you a gift. I want you to use that gift to tell others about it. And God has deposited. Now, the question is, am I full of faith? Am I faithfully doing all of these things in my life? I am committed to doing all of those things in my life. When the phone rings at midnight, am I committed to getting to the hospital to pray for you? When Monday morning the phone rings at 8 o'clock and someone says, Pastor, we need to talk. I don't know what to do with my teenager. Am I committed to that relationship? I'm committed to it whether I feel like it or not, because Christ has been committed and deposited within me a faithfulness that at midnight when my phone gets picked up and I say, God, you got to help me. It's midnight and I don't know what to do. And God doesn't go, gee, I'm just not committed to this relationship. God is always committed to me. I can pick up the phone and talk to Him right now with all of you here. I could just go sit down right now and just leave all you alone, and I can go have a conversation with my Savior because He is committed to me. That is His first priority, is my heartbeat and your heartbeat. And because He's committed to me, I am committed to Him. I have given everything. And Paul says, what God has deposited in you, you ought to turn around and then deposit right back into God, because He will never go bankrupt and He will never leave you short. So we ought to be committed into that relationship. You know where the commitment, I want you to see this. Did you grab the nugget? Did you put it in your pocket to say, because God has put that in my heart, I'm going to put that into others? Don't miss this. Paul says something here. It's not all just fun and games. Paul's best friends, Paul's fellow pastors, look what it says in verse 15. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, included Phlegm and Hermo. I tried those names so hard. I'm looking at that going, I can't believe they even got in the Bible. Phlegelus and Hermogenes. These are fellow pastors with him. And it says, it didn't say, Pastor Kevin, it didn't say some people left me in Asia. Paul planted churches everywhere he went. I mean, you studied that in Bible college. He went on 3 missionary journeys. He established hundreds of, there were churches everywhere growing. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. God was moving. He goes to Asia and he says, the whole church quit. Every single person left, including the pastors. They quit. Why? Because some people started getting arrested and they all went, I'm not committed to this thing. I don't have the fruit of faithfulness. I have the fruit of me. And this isn't me. Paul's in jail. I'm out of here. It says every. That's like showing up next Sunday morning going, where's everybody? And everybody's gone. Pastor Kevin and I show up next Sunday morning. And it's not that Dave and Lori are here. It's like, oh, good, somebody showed up. Paul said they didn't even show up. I mean, if Dave and Lori aren't here, close the church. They're here all the time. They're here when I'm not here. I mean, where's Dan? And Dan's here. Dan's here. He's got his own key. And it says he didn't even show up. It says no. In fact, Kevin didn't even show up. It says I showed up one day and they all quit. I can't believe that. What causes people just to go, hey, God, I quit? And people do this all the time. Because they're not faithful to God, they will not be faithful to one another. You want to show someone that's unfaithful, I guarantee you they're struggling in their relationship with God. They have no relationship with God because it's in direct proportion to be faithful to the very one who created the fruit in us, to us. You know what I think God does? Here's what He does. I don't know about you. I think Jesus woos us. He gets it. He just loves. He's the lover of our soul. He gets us in the courting period. You know those. You remember when you got saved? I love new Christians. They got grins from ear to ear. There is nothing wrong in their life. I mean, God just starts doing stuff. It says it's His goodness that leads us to repentance, oh God. There's a scripture that says that. In other words, here it is. It's like when I was wooing my wife. That's why I married her in 8 months. Because I thought, man, 12 months, she might start figuring things out. Seriously, it was about 4 months into our courting, into our relationship, I let her vacuum my car out. Hey now, easy. She wanted to clean the car out. She was neater than I was, and she realized my car needed some help. So one day she takes my car to clean it out. Now this is a short while after knowing each other, dating. And she starts finding things under my seats that have been there for a long, long time. B.C. stuff, you know, before Christ. I mean, carbon date this stuff. She starts finding paraphernalia in my car. And she goes to my best friend at college and says, "Hey, Dwight, does he still do this and this and this? I found this stuff in his car." And when she found it, I was embarrassed, but it was like, no, I don't do that anymore. I was like, I got to marry this girl. She's going to find out stuff about me, and she'll never want to marry me. I wooed her with everything. When I saw her, I always wanted to put on my best. I always had my hair fixed, you know, had the foo-foo juice on, you know, a nice shirt, nice collar. I mean, you wanted to be at your best. Why? Because I didn't want her to ever say, "Yuck." There's a Greek word. Yuck. Or as we say in Hebrew, yucky. Oh, your kids say it. Yucky. I don't want to eat that. Come on. Jesus comes into our lives at some point and He woos us. He does. He does. I remember when my heart was just absolutely, He began doing things. I found myself crying in sermons. I found myself at songs on my knees like I've never been before. He began doing things in my life, showing me things. He was wooing me. And I found good stuff. And then we got married. One day He came to me and He says, "Mitch, do you take me better or worse, richer or poor, sickness and health? Will you take me until death?" And I looked at the bridegroom and I said to Jesus Christ, "Yes, I love you, Lord. Come into my life. Be my Savior." And I remember that day in December, and He was the Savior of my life. And boom, the first thing He did is He put me in a boat and He kicked me out in the ocean. You say, "Well, what does that mean?" It means this: if you're going to be committed to being faithful, He wants to know how faithful you are. And at some point, the honeymoon ends and you get the flannels in your life. By the way, there's nothing wrong with these. I remember the day that God kicked me out. He put me in a boat, and I loved standing on the shore with Him. But one day He says, "Here you go." And I'm going out going, "Wait a minute, the waves are huge." And I'm going out, and I remember the situations, and God has done this over and over, and He gets me out there, and all of a sudden I realize there's not a paddle in the boat, and then I realize He put me in a holy boat. You ever been in a holy boat? And you get out there and it's leaking and you go, "Oh, this is great. I wonder who thought about this." And all of a sudden you realize, "Hey, God, did you realize?" All of a sudden the finances aren't so great. All of a sudden the relationship isn't going the way I want to. All of a sudden God isn't bailing me out. And I'm out there in the middle of an ocean. I look on the tempest and I see lightning striking going, "That's about 5 minutes away. What's He doing? Putting me in the water." The boat flips. Now I'm out there treading water. You ever been treading water? And then you think, "What am I doing out here, God?" And here's why. Because if you're going to be committed to this relationship, God's got to get you off the shore where you love standing on the sandy, beautiful beach, where your prayers are, "Come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed. Good food, good meat, good God, let's eat." Or as I prayed last night with my young daughter, a quick prayer, and we smiled. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And she opened her eyes and just looked at me. "If I die before I awake, huh?" Good prayer. See, on the shore, I can pray those prayers. "Oh, God, help my finances." On the shore, I got the money. "Oh, God, help my relationship. Hey, things are going good." I can pray that. When God kicks you out, and the next thing you know, you're out in the ocean, you ask yourself the question, and your prayers aren't, "Oh, God, come, Lord Jesus, That's not your prayer. Your prayer out in the ocean in the deep end when you're treading water and the tempest is there is, "Oh God, get me out of here. Where are you?" And some of you have been there with the cancer. Some of you have been there in the relationship. Some of you have been there in the finances. Some of you have just been there. And your prayers change out there as opposed to right here. Are you really committed to God? Paul says, "Everybody left me, including my pastors, except for Onesiphorus." There's a beautiful name. He says, "The only guy who stayed with me was Oni." And Oni, what does your Bible say? "He refreshed my spirit." May God bless his household. He refreshed me. When I needed someone, I got on the phone and Onesiphorus, "Hey, I'll be over the house in 5 minutes." Talk about faithfulness. Onesiphorus, you could just squeeze the fruit and the juices just came out. This guy was a good friend. You got friends like that? Are you a friend like that? Have you got the juices just flowing out of your life? Onesiphorus was there. And he was there for God. That's the last one, or he was there for Paul. We're about to have communion. You see, the fruit of the Spirit today, the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. I swear it's a fruit. It's got vitamin C. It's got a confession. It's got a commitment. It's got communion. God was very faithful. 2,000 years ago, He poured out His own life through His Son, Jesus Christ. God would bleed. And here it is. The blood of the Son of God. The communion. And He says, "I want you to do this communion every time you remember me." Why? I want you to be faithful. If you're faithful to God, you're welcome to have communion. If you say, I don't have faithfulness to God. Well, the Bible says that this can refresh your spirit. Today you can say, "God, forgive me of my sins." And God says, "I will forgive you of your sins if you ask me." And you can have communion. This is the refreshment. Every time I call on the name of the Lord, He's there. Every time I call on the name of the Lord, He's there. That's a phone call worth making this morning. I tell every couple, when you marry her, young man, you will walk through the blood of the Lamb and say, "Let this happen to me." How many years ago was that? Don, how long ago did you guys get married? It's been 10 years. Walk through the blood of the Lamb. Young man, when you make that promise to her, say, "Hey, if I ever break this, you can cut me in half." And she probably would. Coming up this summer, we've been meeting. Did we not talk about the Lamb? And say, "You will be committed, Sean? Walk through the blood of the Lamb." The blood of the Lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, He takes away the sins of the world." How faithful was He to walk down that road for you, carrying your cross, so that you today can walk in Him. I know some of you have been to hell and back. Some of you haven't gotten back yet. Some of you are still going through some tough times. Can I tell you something? Let the fruit of faithfulness hold you on that road. Jesus was on the road of hell. They called it Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. I call it the road marked to hell and back. They were killing Him and splitting Him so that on your road you could stay the course. The fruit of faithfulness. This morning, Pastor Kevin is going to come and help serve. We're going to serve this morning a little different. It's called intinction, where you'll come down through the middle. Those of you on the sides, you can come down through here and then back, or actually come around through the front, and then if you'll make your way back this way. You come and you dip into the cup, the body, the bread, into the cup, the blood of Christ. We have open communion here. It's for anyone who says that Jesus Christ is their Savior, and I confess Him, and I've asked Him to forgive me of my sins, and to be my Savior. And if that's you this morning, you're saying, "Right now, boy, I'm doing that. This is what I've been looking for." You can do that right now. And I'd like you to bow your heads right now and prepare your hearts. The Bible says don't take communion if your heart's not right. You'll bring judgment on yourself. No sense in making things worse. And it's okay to sit there if you're not ready. But right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm just going to give you a moment to pray and say, God, prepare my heart. If there's any sin within me, your faithfulness for my faithlessness, your righteousness for my unrighteousness. Forgive me of my sins. I make you the Savior and the Lord of my life, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness, health, God, until death, I want to follow you. Amen. And so this side, if you would, with Pastor Kevin, and we're going to play a little song here just to, you can meditate on. But when you're ready, just each row, we'll start with the front row, we'll make our way back, and we'll start with the back row and make our way forward. And the same on this side, front to back, and then back to front, and you can come forward. Let's have communion. The Lord bless you. Let me switch this. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Keep you. God bless you. Yes. The Lord bless you. God bless you. The blood and body of Christ. The Lord bless you. Just dip into dip the bread. No. Dip your bread. Yes. There you go. God bless you. Take and dip into the blood. God bless you. The Lord bless you. Dip into the blood. God bless you. The Lord bless you. God bless you. The Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. Tim, the Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. The body and the blood broken for you. God bless you. Hi, Tammy. God bless you. The blood of Christ. Body and blood of Christ. The Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. The Lord bless you. Hi, Jane. The Lord bless you. The body of Christ. Hi, Dave. The Lord bless you. The blood and the body of Christ. Hi, Alan. The Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. The Lord bless you, the body and the blood of Christ. The Lord bless you, the body and the blood of Christ. Go ahead and dip it inside. There you go. Very good. God bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and dip. And take and eat. Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and dip and eat. Lord bless you. Hi. The body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, take and eat. The body and the blood of Christ, take and eat. Lord bless you. Hi. The body and the blood of Christ, Lord bless you. Hi, Zach. The body and the blood of Christ. The body and the blood of Christ. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ, take and eat. Lord bless you. Hi, Vicky, the body and the blood of Christ, take and eat. Neil, the body and the blood of Christ, the Lord bless you. Hi, the body and the blood of Christ, the Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ, the Lord bless you. Hi, Bruce.
How you doing?
The body and the blood of Jesus Christ, be blessed. Take and eat.
Thank you, Lord.
The body and the blood of Christ, take and eat. Hi, Natalie. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ, take and eat. Dip. Go ahead and dip it. There you go. Yes. Very good. Take and eat. The Lord bless you. I did. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ, take, dip, and eat. Lord bless you. God bless you. Hi, Ed. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat.
Thank you.
Hi, Amy. The body and the blood of Christ.
you, the body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. I go with the body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. The body and the blood of Christ. Be blessed. Hi, Mary. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. Hi. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. God bless you, Jerry. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and eat. The body and the blood of Christ. Bless you, Larry. John, the body and the blood of Christ. The Lord bless you. Corner, the body and the blood of Christ. Dip it, take and eat. The Lord bless you. Isaac, the body of Jesus Christ. Take and dip and eat. Yes, God bless you.
Thank you.
Hi. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. God bless you, Roger. The body of Christ. Take, dip, and eat. Lord bless you. Hi. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. The body of Jesus Christ. Take and eat. Hi, Nate. Lord bless you. The body of Christ. Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. The body and the blood of Christ. Bless you. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless you. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and eat. Bless you. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and eat. Lord bless you. Right. The body and blood of Jesus Christ. Be blessed. Hey, Ryan. God bless you, Ryan. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat, Curtis. Bless you. Hi, Cheryl. Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. Bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. Lord bless you, John. Hi. The body, the blood of Christ. Lord bless you, Pinky. Dave, the body and the blood of Christ. The Lord bless you.
Sure.
Char, the body and the blood of Christ. Take, eat, be blessed. Lord bless you. George, the body and the blood of Christ. Lord bless you. I, Jamie, the body and the blood of Christ. The Lord bless you. Tom, the body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. Lord bless you. I, Beth. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. The Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. The Lord bless you, Missy. Hi, Rose. The Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. The Lord bless you. The body and the blood of Christ. Take and eat. The Lord bless you. Okay, the body, the blood of Christ. Take and eat. Frank, the Lord bless you. The body, the blood of Christ. Carol, God bless you. The body, the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and be blessed. Uriah, the body of Christ and the blood. God bless you. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and eat and be blessed. Lord bless you, the body of Christ. The body and blood of Christ. The Lord bless you.
This young man would like to ask Jesus in his heart.
Okay.
What should we do?
Let's pray. You want to do that right now? Okay, just pray this prayer with me, okay? Father in heaven. Or you can say the words with me, okay? Father in heaven, I believe in Jesus. I believe He died for my sins. I open my heart. Ask You to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be my Savior. Thank You, God. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe Jesus saved you? Amen. God bless you. You may have communion. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and eat. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you guys. God bless you. What's your name?
Steve.
Steve. God bless you, Steve. The body and the blood of Christ. The Lord bless you. Take and eat. the blood and the body of Christ. Take and eat and be blessed. God bless you. Hi, the body and the blood of Christ. Dip. Don't go and dip it. There you go. Just be blessed. God bless you. God bless you. Communion. It has a cleansing power. Young man Stephen this morning just gave his life to the Lord and came up. That's a cleansing power. God bless you, Stephen. Awesome. As we close and go from this place, the fruit, you just squeeze it right out. When I think of faithfulness, I shared this with the first service. I was, Lord, how do I close this out after communion? And strange as it may sound, I think about a movie that my wife and daughter really absolutely love. It's called The Notebook. And a man lives his life with his wife, her whole life. And they keep a notebook, the story, the journal of all their times together and who they are. When she gets old, she gets Alzheimer's. And he reads her the story in the home that she's taken care of every day. And as she hears the story, every so often she snaps out of her Alzheimer's. And maybe 5 minutes, maybe for 5 hours, she remembers her love and who she is. And it's one of those stories that just goes, ah, The Notebook. I just read the story, and every once in a while, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, I remember. I'm in love. Are you in love this morning? I'm in love. I am in love. And that's what communion is all about. It's that love. I pray the fruit over your lives. Heavenly Father, our benediction is this. May we go from this place with vitamin C. May we go from this place with the faithfulness of your love. And God, I pray the world will find that in us, just oozing out. Thank you for your notebook, 66 beautiful letters in this Bible that remind me of the greatest love story ever written. And sometimes I just need to sit down and read it to remember again and snap out of it. Because sometimes, Lord, we forget. No wonder you told us communion is do this every time you remember me. And that's what we've done today. We remember who we love and who loves us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen.